We're ending our series today, Beats by Jay, and we've been saying throughout the series that you are blessed. Blessed is not what you receive, but blessed is who you are. I'll say it one last time. We are not waiting on the kingdom of God. We are the kingdom of God. It's what we do. It's how we act. It's why we move. It's why we serve our community. And so today is the last message in the series. And if I could just be honest with you, church, this is the hardest message in the series, not for you, but for me. So just pray grace is over me this morning. But I want to start in Psalm 119, verse 2. I'm going to be preaching also from John chapter 15. If you've got a Bible, pull it out. If you got your phones, pull it out. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to get one in your hands before you leave. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his statutes. Blessed are those, not statues. If I hear me say statues, I know it's statutes. But I say it so quickly, it sounds like statues. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. If I could read it a different way. Blessed are those who keep his commands. Who keep his commands and seek him with all their heart. The title of my message today is Redefine Your Joy. Redefine your joy. Let me pray over you, church. God, we come from all kinds of backgrounds, from all different places, and from all different kinds of experiences. God, there are people in this place right now who are desperate to know you. And so, God, we just pray in this moment that you would meet us through your word, that we would find a new way forward in faith, and that you would help us see the joy that is our life. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray this, church. Everybody said amen. 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 Hey, turn to your neighbor. If you're online, put it in the chat. But turn to your neighbor, say, redefine your joy, and you can have a seat. Redefine your joy. So I have to tell you, joy has got me all jacked up, and not in a good way. Not in a good way. It'll be good by the end, I promise. But joy's got me jacked up because a lot of times in church, we talk about joy as if we all understand what we're talking about. And this is my struggle. I'm not saying it's yours, but I would guess it's probably yours as well. When we talk about joy, the question I'm asking is, how do we know when we experience it? When is the last time you experienced joy in your life? I wonder if joy is the moment you woke up this morning with a cup of coffee and you enjoyed the warm delight before the chaos began. I wonder if joy is the day after your wedding when you woke up and you realized that your partner was not perfect and they had bad breath just like you. Come on, somebody. Like, I thought I was gonna have to go to bed with mints in my mouth for the rest of my life. Nope. Day one, thank God. I wonder if joy is the moment when your team unexpectedly wins the game. I wonder if joy is when you make a move, when you get a promotion, when you get the new job. I wonder if joy is the moment your kids jump into your arms, the moment you get home from work. I wonder if joy is the unexpected pregnancy and bringing a baby into this world. I wonder if joy is found in long walks on the beach. I wonder if joy is hiking in the mountains. I wonder if joy is sitting next to a campfire talking to your friends. I wonder if joy is, in the words of Jordan Davis, the moment when you buy dirt and you live life with the ones that you can't live without. You want to help me? You get a ring and let your knee hit the ground. I wonder if joy is when you do the things that you love and you call it work. And I wonder if joy is when you put a little money in the plate at church. Can I tell you, I don't like country music, but when I hear that song, it puts me in a really good space. You too? good space. But I told you I'm jacked up on joy. What is a good space? Like when I hear that song, is it happiness or is it joy? And then to make matters worse, you got psychologists, you got pastors, you've got therapists, you've got all these people and experts telling you, you gotta move below the happiness and you gotta find joy. And I think the reality is we know when we're not happy. We know when we don't have joy. This week, I'm running with one of my good partners at 5 a.m. and we are running on the street because there are no sidewalks. Are you with me on this? And every time we run, is this not true, Matt Markman? Every time we run, somebody yells at us, they speak unkindly to us, and so we're running this week, and some guy's shouting out from his car. And Matt's like, ooh, he's angry. And I'm like, bro, he's just jealous he's not hanging out with us right now. But it was clear that he wasn't happy. It was clear that he didn't have joy. What's not clear is when we are truly experiencing joy in our lives. And here's what I need you to hear, church. I think that all the things that we named at the beginning, whether it's coffee, whether it's babies, whether it's relationships, whether it's your team winning, those are all really good things. And I think God puts those things into our lives for us to experience moments of excitement and happiness and goodness and fun, but they are not joy. Anything that comes to an end is only happiness. Anything that comes to an end is a circumstance. And joy is not lived out of our circumstances. Are you with me on this, church? In fact, I think maybe that's why you came to church today, is because you had just a sliver of hope in your life that you believe maybe, just maybe, I could stop chasing dreams and titles and positions and people, and I could actually just find some joy. But the tension that I wrestle with when it comes to church is sometimes we treat faith like Jordan Davis treats a country song. We come in here and we just come in on Sunday. We get a little TED talk about God and feel good. And maybe we drop some little money in the bucket and we walk out of these doors at BHOPE and we feel like we could conquer the world. I'm ready to go. Look at me. God's got me in this moment. And then you walk in the door on Monday at work and you're like, what in the world has just happened? Sometimes we can feel good when we leave here. We can feel happy about what God is doing in our lives. But God is calling you to a different level of life. And it's called joy, church. And so today I want to redefine for us what joy is. And here's my definition of joy. Joy is not a result of your circumstance. Joy is the reason behind your existence, church. Is this not good? Are you with me on this? Nod with me. Somebody give me an amen. Somebody say, I'm with you, brother. I got a clap. I got one with me. Church, hear this. This is so important for where we're going today. Joy is not a result of your circumstance. Joy is the reason behind your existence. In fact, I'm going to ask my son to come up here, and I want to give you just a little illustration that maybe we could bring this thought to life for just a second. And so can we thank Brian, who's bringing the table, and can we thank my son, Miles, who is going to demonstrate for us. All right, bud, just hang tight. Don't give it away just yet. So we were hanging with some folks on Friday, and all of a sudden the kids come down with the beads, and I was like, the party's getting real. And they're like, no, Dad, we got a magic trick we want to show you. And so I'll just let him demonstrate for you. Oh. Yes. Thanks, buddy. You can take that with you. Hey, can we give my son a hand real quick? Now, I have never seen that in my life. And the moment I saw it, I was like, whoa, a chain fountain. And then I started thinking about it. I am not mesmerized by a bunch of beads falling out of a cup. That is the result. What gets really exciting about this whole trick is what's behind it. It's the reason, church, why the beads are falling out of the cup. And what's behind it are the things that we can't see. It's inertia. It's kinetic energy. It's momentum. It's gravity. And here's what I know about the laws of physics. The laws of physics are always at work, no matter whether you understand them, see them, or experience them. The laws of physics are always there. And this is how joy works in our lives. It's not the result, but joy is the reason behind your existence, meaning it's always there, it's always working, it's always moving in your life, regardless of what you're going through. And so I want you to understand that joy, although it's always there, comes from a deeper place. And so today I want to dive into John chapter 15, because Jesus has a few words as he's getting ready to go to the cross for his disciples about how you live in joy when the person you're following is getting ready to get crucified. And he knows that Satan's going to put all sorts of messy stuff in their head and make them doubt and make them question and make them wonder if he is real. And he says, let me show you how we find joy. John chapter 15, verse 9, this is what Jesus says. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Jesus loves you as much as the Father has loved him. And you're like, wow. That's great. You could even sing a song, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. There's a thing behind the thing. What does Jesus mean when he says, as the Father has loved me? See, to understand how Jesus has loved you, we have to understand the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. And the only way that we can find the relationship that Jesus had with the Father is in the beginning of John's gospel in chapter 1, verse 2. And this is what it says. It says, he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And I'm going to keep going to verse 4, even though we don't have it. In him was the life, and that was the light of all mankind. The relationship that Jesus is expressing is this, is that before the world came into existence, before we could fully grasp and have a concept of time, God was alive. God was moving. And the very nature of God, the very existence of God, was not that he was God, but that he was love. If I could say it like this, the sun's nature is not that it's a planet. That is the result of its essence. What makes the sun is gases that fuse together to give us this beautiful ball of fire that I would love to stare at without glasses, but I can't because I'll go blind. Its very nature is gases and fire. And Jesus' very nature in the beginning is that he is love. And the reason Jesus creates the world is not because he wants a result, but the reason he creates the world is because he has a reason. And the reason behind why we see what we get to see is because love was moving from the very beginning. Love has always been leading the world when God is in charge. What makes God God is not that he's God. What makes God God is that he is love. And here's where it gets better, church. This is where it gets so good. Because in verse 2, it says, he was with him in the beginning. And I'm asking this question, yo, who was he? He was who? Jesus was with the Father in the beginning, who was love. Meaning this, church, that before Jesus was born, before Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, before Jesus went into the desert to be tempted, before Jesus said yes to the calling that God had put on his life, before Jesus performed miracles, before Jesus taught us all the Beatitudes and how you could be blessed, before Jesus raised 12 disciples that ultimately would change the world, and it's the reason why you and I are still coming to church to this day, before Jesus died on the cross and before he was resurrected, before Jesus did anything in life, he had not accomplished one single thing, and yet the Father loved him from the very beginning, church, which means for you that before you got that job, before you were poor, before you were rich, before they said yes, before they said no, before you were married, before you were divorced, before you were dating, before you were liked, shared, celebrated, and platformed, before you were canceled and unfriended and let go, God was loving you simply because he made you from the very beginning. He creates your life out of his love, and because you are you, his love is for you. His love is the reason behind your joy. His love is the thing that is always at work in your life, even though you may not sense it, feel it, understand it, or feel like you can experience. But joy comes from his love, which means joy is what pulls you through the struggle. Joy is what keeps you going through the storm. Joy is what keeps you fighting when you feel like giving up. Joy is not based on your circumstance. Joy is the reason behind your existence. And then Jesus does this really weird thing. In fact, if you just go with me back to verse 9, notice what he says. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Then what does he say next? Now remain in my love. And then he says, if. Everybody say if. If you're online, Ironton, come on, say it with me now. If. And that includes you, Beaver Creek. He said, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And then he continues in verse 12. Here's the command that I give you. Love each other as I have loved you. Here's my struggle. Joy's got me jacked up. Can I talk about my struggle? I'm going to talk about my problems. I'm reading verse 9 where it talks about the unconditional love of God. I don't have to do anything and God loves me. But then Jesus isn't even out of verse 9 yet. And then he says, now remain in my love. And when I read the word remain, I don't get the sense of like, oh, I've got this. I'm good. We're ready to go. I get the sense of like, I could lose it. Like it could disappear. Remain to me feels like if I make a mistake, suddenly it's gone. Like, what are we doing here, Jesus? I thought your love was unconditional. And then he follows it up with a condition. And he says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And as I was thinking about this, I call it the if liability of Jesus' love. You ever had to fill out a liability waiver? Do we have anybody in here who's done anything remotely dangerous in their life? You ever been skydiving? You ever been rock climbing? Maybe you had a liability waiver when you started dating. I don't know what your parents were thinking, but think about a liability waiver. Well, what is a liability waiver for? When you go rock climbing on a wall, at least in a gym, what they're saying is, if mistakes happen, if you get hurt, if you fall to your death, we are no longer responsible for you. You're paying the bill. You're paying life insurance. You're on your own. And I think that's in many ways how I feel about this verse when I read it. It's almost like Jesus is saying, if you don't keep my commands, then guess what? You're on your own. You've lost it. You're gone. We're done. There's no more help for you. See, if liability is like, hear me say this correctly. If liability is like the legal stay with me, church, a legal understanding of a partnership. You have all the obligations of a marriage, but you get none of the benefits of the marriage in a legal partnership. If is when you're in high school and you're gonna do something you know you shouldn't do, and you say, if you cover for me, then I will buy you a year's worth of Takis. If is what lazy parents do. If you take out the trash, I will buy you the game that's been sitting in my Amazon cart for 3 months. Can I take it a level deeper? This is how you and I live in our relationships with people. Love is conditional. You've been in this experience. If I was just a little bit skinnier, maybe they would think I'm pretty. If I would just do this one thing in my life, maybe my spouse would accept me. If I would just get good grades, maybe I could gain my parents' approval. If I could just prove myself in this job, maybe they would accept me. How often in our lives are we living under this condition of if, the if liability of others people's love? And what happens is we carry that whole experience of life into our relationship with God. And we feel kind of like what Jesus is expressing in this moment, that if we don't do these specific things, suddenly God's love for us is gone. And it really doesn't help when people in the church have told you this. See, you've experienced this in faith. You would have a better life if you just went to church more. Sorry, I wasn't pointing at you. You're always here. Congratulations, friend. You would have better discernment about your future if you would just listen to God and say a prayer. You would be able to hear God's voice in your life if you would simply open God's word. Have you ever had somebody speak if over your faith for just a second? If you wouldn't have cheated on, if you wouldn't have lied about, if you wouldn't have been addicted to, if you wouldn't have been dependent upon, if you wouldn't have made this mistake, if you wouldn't have done all these things, then you'd be in a better place in life. Can I tell you, church, God's love doesn't work on ifs. God's love isn't conditional. The only condition that God has for loving you is the condition that he finds you in, church. That is so good. The only condition that he has for loving you is where he finds you, church. When he found you in a moment where you thought you could no longer live this life and you felt like it was worth taking, God found you and he still loved you. When you had the pill in your hand, when you had the bottle open, when you had the needle next to your arm, when you were getting ready to go to the website one more time, God found you, and the reality is he still loves you. When you have questions about God, when you are an atheist and you believe there is no God, I want you to know, wherever you are in faith or lack thereof, God finds you and he still loves you. Some of you haven't accepted God's forgiveness in your life, and the reality is you continue to live in the past and you keep making the same mistakes because you believe that that's where I'm supposed to live instead of stepping into the future. And what God does is he finds you in the middle of your lack of forgiveness that you've accepted and said, let me show you the way forward because I love you. The only condition that God has for loving you is the condition he finds you in. I hope that sets somebody free today, because that's not always how. So if Jesus' love is unconditional, if Jesus loves us regardless of what has happened in our lives, you say, Brad, what in the world does that have to do with joy? What is Jesus communicating in John chapter 15, verse 9? Church, I don't do this often, but I'm about to go verse by verse. We're going to go deep for just a second. So I need us to do two things. One, I want you to take a deep breath. And two, I'm going to tell you a dad joke, okay? So, number Ironton online, here we are, Beaver Creek. Let's do this together on the count of three. Let's take a deep breath. One, two, three. It feels good, doesn't it? Coming up for air for just a second. You ready for the joke? Why doesn't Jesus wear jewelry? Because he's always breaking chains. I get it. Anybody under 30 is not laughing at that joke. But that's funny. Can I take you deep for a second? Can I teach you for a second? God showed me some things in his word that drastically changed my understanding of his love and how it works when it comes to joy. And what I need you to understand is that God's love is not about staying in. It's not about staying in, but it's about standing up for. It's about standing up for. And when Jesus says, remain in my love, we have this awareness that we could lose it, that he could give up on us, or that we could give up on it. But Jesus' heart, when he says, remain in my love, is the inversion of that concept. Meaning this, church, that it's not something you give up on. And when you don't give up on something, guess what you are? You're persistent. And when you're persistent, you stand up for the things that are most meaningful to you. If I could say it like this, like you are unafraid to stand up for your family. You are unafraid to stand up for your friends who are being bullied. We stand up for our views. We stand up for our politics. We stand up for freedom. We stand up for our nation. We stand up for justice and responsibility. And we stand up for communities. We have all these things that we stand up for in our lives, church. But here's what gets me is the church is not known. We are not known for what we stand up for. We are known for what we're against. And Jesus' word remain here means stand up for, meaning stand up for my love. God's love is not something that you lose. God's love is something that is worth standing up for. So when Jesus says, remain in my love, the expression is stand up for my love because the world needs to know it. Are you with me on this? Remain in my love. Stand up for it. But how do we do that? Good news, verse 10, right after this, Jesus says, but if you keep my commands, then you will remain in my love. Now, this is where you got to do some work. Because if you remember what we read in the very beginning, in Psalm chapter 119, verse 2, do you remember what he said about commands? He said this, blessed are those who keep my statutes, who keep my commands, and seek me with all their heart. That didn't make sense to me. And so what I did was did the next best thing, and I went to the King James Version. Church, I ain't never preached from the King James Version. But today I'm gonna preach from the King James Version. Here's what KJV says in Psalm 119, verse 2. It says this, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Blessed are those, not his commands, not his statutes, blessed are those who keep his testimonies and seek him with their entire heart. Church, I know we're talking about God's testimonies, but what are his testimonies? When we look throughout the course of Scripture, what God commands us to do is to pass down the story of God and the ways in which his redemption and his power and his miracles have been at work throughout the course of history. Yo, there was a whole bunch of people, a nation that were slaves and God freed them. There was a group of people called you and me who were in sin, and the reality is that God died for those things to put them to death and so we could come back to life. Those are the testimonies where God has been working throughout the course of history. And what he says, keep them going. Keep that story moving. And how do we keep the story of God moving? When God is moving in your life. Meaning this, church, it's not about the command, it's about the testimony you have because of the condition that God found you in. So if we could rephrase Psalm 119, what it would say is, blessed are those who stand up for my love through the power of their story. Oh man, we're putting some things together. Blessed are you when you stand up for my love through the power of your testimony. You know what's even better, church? Is this word testimony in the original language is translated martyris. This is extremely important. Martyris. What is the root that we see within the word martyris? Yeah. What do martyrs do? They die. Like, they sacrifice their lives for the beliefs that they have. They are persistent in the mission that God has for them. Martyrs, let's say it this way, they stand up for what they believe in. And what Jesus says is there is no greater love than this in verse 13 than to lay down your life for one's friends. This is God's command, that you would love them as he has loved you, that you would lay down your life for your friends, your coworkers, your kids, the people that you come into contact every week. Listen, I don't think you're actually going to be killed for your faith, although you may be. But what Jesus is saying in this moment is, blessed are you when you give your life, you lay down everything that you are to sharing the power of God's love in this world through the power of your story. Through the power of your story. Church, can I tell you, when I was in junior high, I went to a Catholic school. And because I enjoyed Catholic school so much, I thought I would go through confirmation. Confirmation was a lot of fun. And in confirmation, you know this, if you've been in the Catholic Church at all, you have to pick a saint. And so I picked St. Matthew. Not because I knew anything about St. Matthew, I just saw the medallion and I thought, that looks kind of cool. That guy looks pretty cool. I think me and Matthew would be good bros. We'll hang out and he can hang around my neck for a little bit. But in confirmation, you have to do this report. And I remember finding out that Matthew was a martyr for his faith. And I think that in some sense, I realized that was the call that God had put on my life. That I may not actually die for my faith, although I might, and I welcome the moment. But what God has called me to do in this life is to give my life every single week to sharing with you the power of God's story that is work within me. Can I tell you, church, I'm still messed up. I still make mistakes. There are days I get it wrong. There are days I'm not a good husband. There are days I'm not a good dad. There's days that I mess it up as a boss. Like, every single day I'm aware that I need God's grace. I need God's forgiveness. I need his love. God is still working in my life every single day. And I will give my life to standing up before you every single week, unashamed of what God is doing, how he is working, how he is changing, how he is loving. What God is doing in me is something that I can't hold in, but I have to share it with you, church. I will lay down my life because it's the calling that God has put on me. And in real time, church, this is your story. In fact, this week I was coming out of Hope Week, day number one at Koi, and I'm walking to my car, and there's this young lady who starts walking toward me, and she's in tears. And I thought, oh no, I am not a good counselor. You do not want to talk to me. And in tears, she comes to me and she says, Pastor Brad, I've been attending Be Hope for about a year now. She said, God's been moving in my life in ways that I couldn't even imagine. I did not think that I would be in this place after a year. And she was just in tears and she said, I'm just so grateful, not just for Be Hope, but for what God is doing inside of me. And then she said, but it gets even better. I've just been so enamored with how God is working that I decided to invite my sister and my brother-in-law, Mike and Heather. And she said, they're atheists. I invited atheists to church. And I said, just give it 3 visits. That's all you have to do. 3 visits. Just give them 3 tries. And if that's it, then so be it. And Mike and Heather decided to come to Be Hope. And I asked Stephanie, I said, are they still coming to Be Hope? She said, they are. And God's working in their life. And God's moving in their life. And can I tell you, church, Heather gave me permission to share this, but they lost a baby years ago. Like a loved baby who suddenly lost his life unexpectedly. And that put them into a tailspin where they believed God does not exist. God could not exist. You've been there, church. You've lost somebody. You've been through that pain. And you've been in this moment where you've questioned God, saying, how could you be alive? How could your love be real? And here we are. This week, I got to meet Mike and Heather during Hope Week. They're still coming to church. Heather was here last night. Mike is here today at some point somewhere. But we're believing and expectant that God's going to continue to work in their lives, that God is still moving. He is still faithful. But how did Mike and Heather get here? Because Stephanie decided to lay down her life by standing up for God's love through the power of what God was doing inside of her. There is no greater love than this, than to lay down your life for other people, church. There is no greater love than for you to let go of that uncomfortable feeling and stand up and share with somebody what God has done through you. There is no greater love, church, than to walk out of this space with the intention of bringing somebody into a new kind of hope through faith. There is no greater love, church, than becoming a First Church champion, where you sit at the feet of somebody who is brand new in faith, and although you may not feel qualified and good enough to walk them through this journey, the reality is this: God has saved you, He has changed you, He is molding you, and He is shaping you, and He has strategically placed you at the feet of people to show them the way forward, church. There is no greater love than when you stand up boldly and unashamedly and unafraid every single week with people that you come into contact with and say, watch how God is moving. His love is still at work in my life. I don't have to accomplish. I don't have to chase. I don't have to achieve, because I live from a different kind of joy, a different kind of joy. And so, church, would you stand to your feet, because I need you to see this in verse 11. This is what Jesus says in verse 11. This is right in the middle of the passage. He says this. He says, verse 11, he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. I have told you to stand up for my love and to share your story with people so that you could find your calling, so that you could find your joy, so that you would have a reason to exist in this world. Church, joy is not based upon our job. Joy is not based upon your circumstances. Joy is not the relationship you have with your spouse. Joy is not the person you're dating. Joy is not if you're single. It's not whether you've lost a job, have a job, whether you're rich, poor, black, white. It doesn't matter where you are in life, church. Our joy comes from knowing that God has called us to be blessed. And being blessed is when you share the power of what God is doing in your life. And if you don't have joy, today is the day where you realize God's love is always at work in you. God loved you from the beginning, and He's placed you here in this moment to realize there's a new calling on your life, church. Step into His joy and redefine what life could look like. Amen. Amen.